What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, as always. First things first, as you guys know, I had stopped doing my social media stuff at the beginning, but I do want to rant for a second about our Patreon pledge drive. We're trying to keep the podcast afloat and keep our lives afloat by having a Patreon account where you can pledge per episode. As you guys know that follow along, we very infrequently do 4 episodes a month. We're usually like about a bi-monthly podcast. We do like about 2 a month probably. That's why we're not doing the Patreon by the month, because sometimes we don't do shit for a whole month and sometimes we do 4 for in a month and whatever. We don't want to rip you guys off. So we're just doing it by the episode. You can go to Patreon and you can pledge a buck. You can pledge $2, $3, whatever you want to pledge per episode. Every time we put up an episode, then you will be supporting us. So thank you guys that have already done it. It's a huge help. Even if it doesn't look like it's a huge help, it's a huge help. And so thank you so much. Go to patreon.com/kindaneat and you guys can help support the podcast. That being said, today we spoke on the program with Jameson. You spell that J-M-S-N. And Jameson, I didn't realize that, like, I didn't realize his story was so, has had so many, like, trials, tribulations, ups and downs. And he's got a lot of life experience. Because when I've seen Jameson's videos online, I just see this dude that's like can sing like an angel and has long, luxurious hair. And I go, oh, yeah, of course, everything worked out for this dude from the jump because he's like handsome and can sing really good. Like it must have been pretty easy. Turns out that everyone has a fucking story. And so this episode was dope. And I'm just hyped on this. I think like the performance was fucking beautiful. He was playing us his music. He was playing us his record after the show. And it's great. And so I nothing but kind words to say about this dude. And I think you guys will like the episode. Right from the jump in this episode, he and I kind of jump into mental health shit, because lately I don't want to be like a super downer. I try to keep it open with you guys about what's going on with me. And to be honest, as I'm recording this, for the last couple months, the first 2 months of this year, it's crazy. Like all my gigs have kind of just hit a brick wall at the same time. Like photo work has been really slow for me. Bartending, you guys know that I like work with the ham parties a lot. That shit, like all the warehouses dried up, so I haven't been doing that. Music royalties, I mean, it's already been fucking 2 years since we put out Intuition and Equilibrium. Time flies so fast. We put that out in April of 2014, so that still gives us a little bit of a monthly whatever, whatever, but it's nothing that like, it's not amazing money every month. And then, yeah, the YouTube stuff, I don't know what's up with YouTube, like it's changed or something, and that has slowed down as well. So I'm pretty much living off savings right now, which is not a big deal, but it eats away at you when you don't have anything to do during the day except for self-assignments. It gets fucking tough on your mentality, you know? And there are a lot of times where my depression that I've spoken very openly about, it wins. You know what I mean? And there are days where you end up spending the whole fucking day not wanting to get off the couch or not being able to get off the couch. And then there are other days where, like, I get hyperactive, functional and fucking do a million things in one day. And then I like do all the things that were my goals for the week in one day. And the next day I feel like, oh, fuck, now what do I do? And then I get depressed again. But also, as I gotten older, I didn't used to have anxiety that much, I don't think. But my anxiety has been crazy. And Jameson and I talk about this during the podcast of like just the general anxiety that you have as a creator, but just as a human in general, like, but particularly like kind of that outgoing introvert type thing, because to be a performer and get that buzz off of performing for people or getting that little momentary center of attention type thing, like you have to be a bit outgoing and you have to be able to like talk to people a little bit afterwards. But truth be told is like I spend most of my time alone and do everything alone and fucking, and he's kind of the same way. And that tends to like that lack of human connection on a daily basis. Like when you don't have a job and you're not going to like meet with other humans every day at the water cooler, you start to like, there's a certain normalcy that you lack and it starts to stack on top of each other. And just like today, for no fucking reason, I'm driving over and I have stuff to do today, but still driving over to do the podcast. Like I felt like I was going to fucking throw up just because I had so much anxiety for no fucking reason. I know that everything's fine. And, I may have already talked about this in a podcast a couple weeks ago. I have no fucking idea at this point, but it's just been an ongoing thing where it's like, right now my depression is winning, and it's crazy because I'm usually so good at keeping it in check. But it has been fucking bad lately. And so doing the Patreon thing is kind of helping me like ease my mind a little bit and just trying to pick up little gigs wherever I can. And you know, Mark and I have been in talks of trying to like make some more music because we haven't really, to be honest, we've like kicked it together a couple times, but we haven't been very productive together. He's been working on other stuff and I just haven't been writing at all. So I have some new ideas that'll hopefully like re-inspire some music, because I feel like that's the one missing element that has changed in my life, where like I haven't really been participating in an active level of music creation. And then coincidentally, my fucking depression has been winning. So I'm like, perhaps that is the part of the equation that is fucking me up. So yeah, we'll see. I'll work through it. I always do. It's just like right now, it's been tough times. And I hate to start off the podcast on such a fucking negative note, but I mean, we jump right into that from the jump. It seemed like it was just kind of on the front of both of our minds, because he just got out of a recording process and he's been very insular lately as well. So we're just like, oh, wait, well, are we really diving into this in the first 5 minutes? And it's like, yeah, fuck it. We're both going through it. And so it was cool. It was a cool conversation. And I feel like we both kind of like worked through some shit and felt more normal at the end of the podcast. And that, it's nice when that happens. Quick side note story that I want to tell on a fucking funnier note. I try to like remember like interesting snippets from life in general to share sometimes, because I live in a weird city. Los Angeles is a fucking weird place, man. You just run into weird people sometimes. Like the other day, my friends and I, Romo and Rash, shout out Romo and Rash, we went to go see Deadpool, and I had already seen Deadpool first by myself. And then I was kicking it with Romo and Rash, two of my good buddies. And we went to the LA art fair or art book show thing, the zine. I don't know what the fuck it's called, but it was a bunch of artsy people there. And afterwards, we're like, oh, they're like, oh, I want to go see Deadpool. And I'm like, fuck, I already seen it, but I don't want to be a weirdo and go home. So I went to go see Deadpool again for the second time in 3 days. And while we were there, we went to the Arclight in Hollywood. While we were there getting our popcorn downstairs and sodas and what have you, who else should walk in but motherfucking Fred Durst? And I was like fanning out, because I'm not going to lie, dude. I'm not super ashamed of my music past, but there was definitely there's some definite embarrassing bands that I was into. Limp Bizkit was one of them. I thought Limp Bizkit was tight, man. And in hindsight, not super tight, but I mean, I was still into it. I'm not ashamed to say that like Korn's first three albums were straight bangers. And after that, they kind of fell off in my eyes. It wasn't for me anymore, but those first three were amazing. And because I liked Korn and I thought that they like kind of changed they ended up changing the face of pop, but at the time that I was into them, they were still like a semi underground band. You know, their first record was just like basically a garage. They were like a fucking garage band basically. And from my love of Korn and the Deftones and Rage Against the Machine and shit like that, that I was into for a certain time in my life, came a passing fad love of Limp Bizkit. And and so It was a quick love affair with Limp Bizkit, but when I saw him at the theater, I went, holy shit, it's fucking Fred Durst. And I couldn't help but laugh a little bit, but I wanted to get a picture with him. And Romo and Rash had talked to me, I'm like, oh man, don't be a kook and get a picture. But I'm like, dude, do you understand how fucking hard this will go on Instagram? But against my better judgment, I did not get a picture with him. We just kind of let him go on his merry way. And I think that he was it seemed like he was with probably family members or something. I don't know. So I didn't bug him. But we go into the theater. Turns out that he's going into the same movie as us, and he's just a few rows behind us. And now as we're watching Deadpool, if you guys have seen it, I mean, there's no spoiler. It's like full of one-liners. It's just like one-liners over and over and over. It's like packed full of like a gazillion jokes, and some of them hit and some of them don't. Ryan Reynolds, you know, he's one of those guys. He's like, it's like, dude, yeah, okay, we get it. You're like tall and handsome and funny. Like, fuck you. But he's like pretty good at everything, and people like that, ugh, can't stand him. Shout out Ryan Reynolds. In the movie, at one point, there is some shots fired at who else but fucking Limp Bizkit. They make a joke where they say, he's like, no, you're ruining it, like Limp Bizkit did to the music in the 90s. And we had just seen Fred Durst, and we know that he's in the theater. I'm assuming that this is his first time watching the fucking movie, and he didn't know that that joke was going to be in it. And, Romo and Rash and I, we're all like, holy shit, we're like elbowing each other, like about to, like, I don't think most of the theater, he was one of the last dudes to walk in. I don't think most of the theater like saw him or knew he was there. You know what I mean? They were already in their seats, and it was already dark by the time he walked in. I don't think they knew he was there. So the three of us were sharing in this fucking amazing inside joke that was was like so LA. It was like the most Hollywood thing I've ever experienced. Like I'm watching a fucking movie where they make a joke about a celebrity that's in the theater watching the movie with us. It was like my head was gonna fucking explode because it was just too meta. And yeah, so we're like elbowing each other, like, oh my God, oh my God. And I wanted to yell out, like, you guys weren't that bad. But I didn't do it. I just kind of fucking, I let it ride and we just laughed about it and that was it. And if you follow my Twitter feed, you already heard like an abridged version of that, but that was the full explanation. And it was just in my, like, I don't know how long, I've lived in LA like probably 9 or 10 years. In that time, that was maybe the most like meta Hollywood moment that I've ever experienced. And in LA, you have weird run-ins like that all the time of like just randomly seeing a fucking celebrity. Like one time, just a few weeks ago, I go to movies by myself all the time during the middle of the day to like catch air conditioning and shit. And like I walked into the movie theater by my house and for some reason, Emma Stone was just there, and I feel like she had just gotten out of her own movie, the one where she's playing a half Asian, and I'm like, the fuck is Emma Stone doing in this local Culver City movie theater? Like, you would think that she has like a private home theater or some shit. Anyway, point is that you just see people all the time, but very rarely do you see a celebrity and then experience a joke about that celebrity very publicly at the same time, and it was amazing and satisfying, and that is the end of my story. So don't cry for me, Argentina. Your boy Lee will be aight. I just got to work through it. I know that things are going to start picking up again, and I know that I'm going to like do my due diligence to get back on my get back on my grizzly. You feel me? Get back on my grind, be out in these streets, hustling, putting my nose to the grindstone. I just got, once I find that motivation, I know everything will be fine. But just lately, I've been wallowing in my own self-pity and it's fucking terrible. So don't, if you're listening and you're going through that kind of shit, man, you are not alone. Michael Jackson, shout out. Point being is like, yeah, everyone is going through that shit. I know it's in the air right now. And yeah, write me a letter. Tell me that you're sad too. And we'll wallow together. But we will break out of it soon and we will be fine. Do not give up. With that being said, I'm going to get into this conversation. You know, honestly, I don't know if like he reveals his real name, so I won't say it. But I don't really actually know if Jameson, J-M-S-N, is like, if that's the band name or if that's what he goes as by a solo act. I didn't really ask that, but so I'm gonna say like this is my conversation with Jameson. Truth be told, it's with the lead singer of a dude who works with a bunch of musicians in what I would call a band. He does the project is mostly it's him doing the bulkhead of the work. He writes the music, he produces it, he engineers it, he does all that stuff. So this is a man of many fucking talents and a really cool down to earth guy. And I think, if you have not heard of him or if you're not a fan, I feel like the combination of this conversation and his performance will turn you into a lifelong fan, because this dude is just like as talented and real as it gets. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Jameson. You've been working hard.
Trying.
Hiding out a little bit?
Yeah, I think all the time.
Yeah. Are you an introvert? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, but it's a weird cycle, because the more you're introverted, the less you like function in society as well.
It
starts to ruin you.
It becomes exponential, right?
Yeah. Like now it's like, oh man, I'm in rough shape when it comes to people.
I'm in that same shit right now. I'm like, you know, I always see those silly like Facebook things that go viral about like extroverted introverts, and it's like, or outgoing introvert or whatever. That's like, I'm like, I hate that I relate to this because it's some corny Facebook shit, but I'm like,
but it's true.
Yeah, exactly. It reminds me of those old like acne commercials when people go, well, wait, why are you using this? You don't have acne. And you go, exactly. And so I'd be out talking to people and they're like, you don't seem like an introvert. And I go, I know I don't, but I am.
That's so great.
Yeah, right? Have you always been a shy dude or what?
I don't think always.
Yeah.
As I got older, I got shyer.
Yeah.
More shy, yeah.
As you become an artist and you feel like you got crazy, a little bit more private or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just about like as you grow, you like just, I don't know. I just think about a lot of stuff now that I didn't before, and I'm constantly evolving as a person. And You know, it takes a lot of energy to do other things. Like, you know, a lot of people, they like to talk to people and stuff like that. It's like there's so much energy involved in that. I don't know if I even have the headspace to, like, go there all the time. You know, some people right. love that, but I'm not that type of person. I just like to, whatever energy I have, put it into what I'm doing, which is, you know, write it down on paper or record a voice note or
right.
creative, anything creative, you know right. what I mean? So it's hard to, like, I definitely try to, like, talk right. to people, but
I think living in Los Angeles, it makes it hard to find time
yeah,
too,
because sure.
not
for
only
sure.
are you trying to work yeah. on your creative endeavors yeah. and do shit, but this is also a city where you can really yeah. only do one thing per day. You
yeah,
can't really,
yeah.
you can't like work on some shit and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to be done at 4. But then if you like
yeah.
accidentally run until 5, then all of a sudden like any yeah. plans you had are
oh,
canceled because
yeah.
you can't
you're
meet
screwed.
Up.
Screwed. Yeah.
yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
Do you find that becoming more introverted helps or hurts your creative process?
I don't know. It's so weird. It's so weird. Like this last album was one of the weirdest experiences of my life because towards the end, I really felt like I was like losing it a little bit.
Right.
yeah. I really felt like what is going on? Like I stopped drinking coffee because I would get anxiety and shit. And I was like, what is going on with me? You know what
oh,
I mean?
Man.
I'm like, and so now I'm just trying to like get back to normal.
We're about to get into it, bro, because I have been, as I was driving over, I'm like,
yeah.
what am I going to make my intro about on this episode? And I was like,
yeah.
going to just talk about how bad my fucking anxiety has
yeah.
been. Like, I was driving over here, bro,
oh
like feeling like I was going to throw up for
yeah,
no reason.
Right?
Like,
oh
I get
my
that
God.
Sickness
what is
in
that?
My stomach.
What is that?
I don't know. Have you been anxious your whole life?
No, man.
Me neither.
It wasn't like that all the time. It's crazy.
It's terrible. I don't know if and I've talked to a lot of friends that
yeah.
have said like there's something in the air right now.
Yeah.
My fucking,
is that what it is?
My depression has been
yeah.
crazy lately
yeah.
and my anxiety has been crazy. And
yeah.
usually I've been like that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I've always kind of had it under control.
Yeah.
And lately has been like real down,
man,
the downhill part of the roller coaster.
It must be something in the air, man.
Right?
That's crazy.
Have you been going through that right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so weird. And this is, you know, it's crazy to like just jump into this and
I know,
talk
I'm
about
sorry.
It. But
we obviously,
yeah,
it's on the tip of the tongue.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're, you know, yeah. yeah. Shit changes and you like, I don't know, man. It's hard to explain like where it's coming from and you're like what I didn't always feel like this, what's different now, and you're trying to figure out you know ways to fix it, but like then you just get stressed out more.
Right. It becomes this thing that stacks on top of itself.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
it's like
oh, yeah.
it perpetuates itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's that energy
yeah.
that perpetuates itself. It's
for
like
sure.
oh, I don't have any reason
mm-hmm.
to have anxiety, and
mm-hmm.
that's giving me more anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think maybe it has to do something with like as we grow up and age into our
yeah.
artistry, like
mm-hmm.
you get to a point where you go, oh fuck, like I'm
yeah.
not the cool new kid on the block anymore.
Yeah.
Like what am I going to do? Like what,
yeah.
you know what I mean? That's, I have doubts
yeah.
about myself
well, yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
what am I going to do if this doesn't work?
Yeah. Well, and there's like another one that I have is like, damn. So this is what I do.
Right.
Like it's not getting any better. It's not getting any worse. It's just like this is what I'm do. This is what I do. I make music. I sit in a studio. I make it. I go on tour. Like yeah, maybe your bank account will get bigger or
mm-hmm.
something like
mm-hmm.
that. But it doesn't change what you do. And it's so crazy because you're like, wow. So this is what I do. It's not gonna like I've played the shows and I'm like what am I gonna do that's gonna be any crazier than this? Like this is the cycle.
Right.
This is my 9-to-5 thing I do, and it kind of like
it
as
balances,
artists,
it balances
as artists,
itself
it crazy,
out. To, right.
It makes you go crazy.
Absolutely. And I was gonna say like
yeah.
the. I think that difference is when you get to that point where you're like, oh, this is what I do, and now this is what I have to do.
Yeah.
There's not that much of a difference between
yeah.
feeling like that and being like a janitor or something.
Yeah,
like, it's like
exactly.
this is what I do.
Exactly.
And that
for sure.
that thing that used to give you the excitement,
yeah.
the getting on stage, the
yeah,
fucking,
for
you
sure.
know, the fan base, the
oh,
whatever,
sure.
all that stuff starts to kind of
yeah.
mellow out, and it's
yeah.
a diminishing return.
Well, you know, and that's like, that's why the only thing that like really will always be new to me is creating.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that probably is a little bit to do with how I'm feeling right now too. You know, now that I think about it, it's like I've just gave all I could for this record that I mm-hmm. did, and like now I'm on a block because I can't even like think of, you know, I just gave it all, and now I'm like, so now I'm like, damn, so like what do I do
what
now?
Is life now?
Yeah, what is life?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing about the cycle of a record is like you start off with this blank page, and that's the scariest part where it's like, okay, I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
And now I have to write 12 more songs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, what the fuck do I do?
You don't even know where to start.
And exactly. You're like, and then after you get a couple songs done, you realize, oh, okay, this is starting to shape. And, and then the creativity seems to come easier because you have a goal in mind.
Uh-huh.
And then when you're done, you're just fucked all over again. Like, right? What is life?
This is the vicious cycle.
Dude. Yeah. How many records have you put out?
This will be the fourth.
The fourth?
The fourth, yeah.
Yeah. I just put out my third a couple years ago.
Oh, for real?
I haven't written a song since, to be honest. Oh, like, I've written a couple verses, but
My,
and I hate to make interviews about
me at all, but I feel like we're going to relate to
this. But like my whole thing has been like, I'm 34 now and I make rap music, which is a very specifically youth oriented music.
Yeah,
I feel like your
sure.
kind of music can kind of, you can grow into an adult with it and it'll age fine.
For sure.
Rap music is some shit where you're a kid and it's cool. And then you get to a certain age and you're the old motherfucker in the club. So I've really been going through, I've been going through like a real creative lull about like, what do I really need to say anymore? And so that's why I've just kind of been like,
gotta be important.
Right. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, that I feel exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it, and I know. But that's the other thing, too, is that as you get more insular and you start to stay inside more by yourself more, I feel like that eats away eventually, and you have to go live some life before you can find the creativity again.
Because you need some inspiration outside of just sitting in a room in your mind, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's out there, you know, somewhere. Right. I don't know where, but it's somewhere.
Yeah. What did you used to do for fun before music became your job?
Well, I mean, music, it's always been my job, you know. Yeah. I was thinking of a time because my dad just came to visit me and he was talking about like, oh, and there was this time where you stopped doing music, and I was like, you know, I don't remember ever a time that I ever stopped doing music. It's always been like since I was 12 years old. I was just what else was I going to do? I didn't have anything else to do. I was like, I mean, I would drink, you know, but besides that, like, shit, I don't have any real other hobbies, you know what I mean? So that's all I would do, you know? And then, you know, I went through my chasing girls phase and all that stuff, so that took up some time.
Right.
But
I was just going to say, do you have vices that came along with music? Because,
you
know, pretty son bitch like you, long hair, pretty voice, like, I'm sure the ladies come running, you know? So that's funny, yeah. How long did the lady chasing last?
Probably till my first serious girlfriend, which was like I was 25 or something. And then, you know, there was like stuff, not really chasing, but, you know, stuff happened throughout. And just now, the past couple of years, it's just been like all about what I'm doing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That shit starts to feel kind of empty after
a while. I'm working on myself. You know what I mean? Because I want to fulfill myself or figure out myself and figure out what makes me feel happy and you know, not look to somebody else for that. Because nobody else can give you that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're, that's the thing, is the women chasing, it's a validation thing. It's you're looking for someone to tell you like, oh, you are good enough.
Yeah.
But you have to believe that
you
within.
You gotta believe that. Yeah. Yourself.
Yeah. And until you do, you don't, it's just empty. Where did your dad come visit from? I pick up an
Detroit.
Accent.
Detroit.
Oh, from Detroit.
Yeah.
You're from Michigan.
Yeah. From Michigan. Yeah.
Growing up in Michigan in the '80s, was that,
it was late '80s.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't old enough
That's
to remember.
That's where you were born, though?
Yeah, that was where I was born in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
And moved there when I was like one.
Oh, okay.
So you grew up
in those cold Michigan winters.
Oh, yeah.
Was Detroit already on the decline, like, by the time you were a kid?
Yeah, well, when I was younger, I think that, like, that was, like, Bill Clinton was president, so like everything was good, right?
Yeah, shit was booming.
I don't know. I was probably too young to like.
Motherfuckers was getting blowjobs.
White House scouting. But the decline happened probably after that, right? The Bush stuff.
I mean, I think industry was already starting to decline. What did your folks do in Detroit?
My dad cut hair, and my mom just existed. You know, she kind of dipped her hands in all kinds of stuff. They weren't married or anything,
but they both lived in the city.
Yeah.
Did they get along or what?
Well, oh man, this is, yeah, this is a long story, but yeah, no, I mean, they, yeah.
Well, here, did you guys move up there together as a unit?
No.
No, so they already split in Dallas?
Yeah.
And who did you side with, mom or dad?
Well, it was weird. I didn't really know my dad until later.
Oh.
So, because my mom then married somebody else really shortly after, and I have three brothers,
like half brothers and
two
sisters.
Brothers and a sister that are all half, and so I kind of grew up thinking that their dad was my dad for a long time, and then I met him later.
How old were you when you met him?
11 or 12, maybe.
How's that? That's got to be.
It was different. It was different, but you know, I didn't know any better. It wasn't a thing. It was just like, you know, oh, okay, well, okay,
more
you
Christmas
like,
gifts.
Who cares? Yeah. You know, so. It was, it was never really a thing. It's just, I mean, I'm sure it shaped who I am a little bit, but right. I don't know how.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I'm not from the outside. I don't know.
Right, right. So, well, you know what's funny is that I always try to say, like, we do these to, I do these to try and, like, figure out a themology behind, like, why people end up being musicians.
Yeah.
And one of the ongoing themes is definitely not only just the American standard, like, weird family situation, like, so many people that we have on the show end up being, like, the eldest half-brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the eldest.
Really?
Whose parents split, and then they end up with, like, younger half siblings. Like, that's like a real common thing on this show.
That's nuts.
So if you want your kid to be a singer, divorce early.
Have one, get another couple.
Exactly. So who did your mom marry? Was he cool? You don't get along just like that.
No, I mean I got along with him. It's when I'm a kid, I mean when we were all kids, it's like, you know, we're everything's good.
Right.
It's all good. You got no worries. What are you worried about?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like you got macaroni and cheese, and you don't realize that that's shitty food for you. You know what I mean?
But you
don't care.
You want that fucking happy meal.
You're like,
meal,
give me that $2 fucking burger. Who cares? You know what I mean? But it was more of, you know, did my mom enjoy that time? I don't know if she enjoyed it so much. But he was always cool to us. So you know, I can't. Man, it's crazy talking about this, and I know they're probably going to hear it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't have to delve into too sensitive of subjects.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
What did he do for work?
I don't know. He kind of didn't. He worked on cars, I think.
Yeah.
And, his dad.
Wait, are you Eminem? Is it like, did you grow up on 8 Mile? Is this what's happening here? You had something like, was mom spaghetti?
I grew up right off Beaconsfield and 8 Mile. It's right by Eastland Mall. It's on the east side of 8 Mile, kind of where 8 Mile kind of crosses that Shady Lane Bridge, which is, you know, Slim Shady.
Oh, of course, the Shady Lane
that's
Bridge.
Yeah, that's the bridge I crossed to get to school.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Damn, so you're like right there.
Yeah.
So what's growing up in Detroit as like a white dude like? It wasn't
that bad. I mean, it was very mixed. It wasn't like I was the only white kid.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So it's not like a segregated city kind of? Or
No. I mean, at least the area I was at, it was, you know, it's chill. It was, you know, and, I don't know. It's normal. When you're growing up, you don't really think about where it is that you're growing up.
Yeah.
And then you find out later, it's like, oh, shit.
Right.
This was kind of ghetto how we did
shit. So that's what I'm saying. I didn't realize, I always tease my mom. I always say, like, I didn't realize I was white trash until I moved away from
it. Oh, man. You don't even know white trash, man. Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, hindsight, now that
I know, yeah.
Well, so what was it like now that you can look at it in hindsight? Was the school district good or bad? Like, you know
Well, you know, I don't remember. I probably don't remember that far back, but I just remember what I just look at all my, not to put them on blast, but I look at like the people that are back home and what they're doing, and you know, a lot like people getting into heroin and shit, and like it's crazy, and it's crazy because you're like, they just never grew out of that.
The drug abuse, the partying.
And then they went and it's crazy. But it's such a common thing. And you're like, I can kind of see that because they get to a point. When you get to a point, you're like, well, what the fuck else? I'm working construction and like.
There's a certain sense of hopelessness in areas
exactly,
like that.
Exactly. And you're like, you don't know any better. So you're just like, I need to get through the day. I'm going to start on Vicodin and then I move up to, you know, Oxy.
And then all of a sudden,
yeah, for real.
Yeah, and in a certain sense, or like in an area like that where there is a certain sense of hopelessness, I feel like at a certain point you had to realize, I need to get out of this shit, right?
Yeah, oh yeah,
Did
yeah,
you
yeah.
always feel that way? Or what?
No, but there's definitely a point where I was like, you know what, everybody, they just don't, they want to stay here and just, you know, rot.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to talk bad
it's
about
not to
the
say,
spot.
It's
you know?
Not, it's not like, even to say rot. It's almost like, because here's the thing. Yeah. I'm from a small town.
Yeah,
I'm from
yeah.
a small, like, pretty white trash area.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends didn't really have bigger dreams of getting out either.
Exactly.
I think there's just kind of that thing where, I mean, maybe as egotistical as it sounds, you get that feeling of being a big fish in a small pond, and it's like, I got to get out of here. And then you get to L.A., and you're just a regular fish in a fucking giant pond.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it lights the fire. Though.
Right, right. Yeah. And so there's definitely these senses of hopelessness in either way that you go. Perhaps life is hopeless. Is that what it is? Is that what we're figuring out?
It might be. It might be. And we're just figuring it out, so it's giving us anxiety.
Fuck. But I mean, the point is that it's not to talk shit about those folks, just that, like, some people are, life is life, and you accept what you're given. And, and so at what age do you think you were like, oh, I'm not going to accept what I'm giving. I got to get out of here.
Right after high school, I was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know?
Where'd you go?
I went to New York for a second, and that wasn't my thing, and so I
just as an 18-year-old, just bang, I'm out.
Yeah. So I probably stayed there for a couple months.
Did you have like dreams of college or anything like that?
No, I mean I actually so after school I went to college for like maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and I took music classes, and I was like, man, this is fuck this.
I'm going Detroit or what?
Yeah, at Wayne State University. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Right.
And then, then I left. And then I eventually came out to L.A., and that's where I stayed.
High school, were you like the music dude?
I was skipping, people were skipping school to do drugs. I was skipping school to make music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was just like, that's all I did.
What age did you pick up a guitar?
12.
And was that your first instrument?
Yeah. Well, I took piano maybe when I was 10, but I didn't think it was cool, and I was, you know.
No. But I bet in hindsight you realize
now
you learned
I'm,
a shitload.
I'm like, fucking, now I'm taking piano lessons again.
Yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
Fucking A. If you know I would have just stayed in there, man.
I always say, dude, in fifth grade, at age 11, I started playing the baritone because it was like the biggest brass instrument.
Yeah.
And I obviously was trying to compensate for having a small cock at the time or something. I learned the biggest one. But the point is that I learned to play it on a treble clef.
Yeah.
And I used to be really good at reading music.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, why didn't I stick with that?
I could have, I could have had a gig every day.
I'm like, I should have just switched to trumpet so it was easier to carry. Yeah. And I would be like a total like working musician every day now.
For real, especially out here, man.
Right. There's
always work.
If you can play a fucking instrument, you will always find a gig.
For real.
It's
for
true.
For real. As long as you're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you're not.
Even if you're not, somebody needs an extra horn.
Right.
You feel
me?
Kids, if you're listening, stick with your fucking
instrument. Stick with your instrument.
So you get but you get the guitar, and that feels cool.
Yeah, I felt super cool, you know, learning all the Jimi Hendrix songs and stuff like that.
How were you learning them? Picking up tab sheets?
Was
the internet already cracking?
No,
like,
you would go to Guitar Center and get the tab books.
Yeah. So just teaching yourself.
Yeah, you would, and then you just read the numbers and like, you know.
And like I said, you have a very pretty voice. So like, did you learn that at age 12 too?
I was trying to sing from, you know, when I was super young, but I, you know, it took me a while to find my voice though, you know,
literally
what I mean?
And figuratively probably.
For real. So I did what I thought was singing for a long time. And then
what was it like from your throat, like screaming type shit?
I don't think it was any type of like that. It was just like not knowing what my voice is, like how I like to sing and how I'm comfortable. Like, you know, like when you try stuff, you know, it doesn't always work sometimes, but you're forcing it because you like how it sounds, and you know, it's weird.
Uh-huh.
And then finally when you figure out, and I'm still figuring it out, you know what I mean? I'm figuring it out every day, just like I'm figuring out writing songs or anything. But I feel like there was a moment where I was like, oh shit, okay, I think this is a lot easier now that
I
kind of understand what's going on, you know?
Right.
And that was, you know...
Well, tell me about that, because even on a physical level, is it like figuring out your key that you're comfortable in?
No,
or is
it's not that. It's like there's so many different elements to singing, like how you pronounce words and how much air, and like if you want rasp or if you, you know, the style of it.
Vibrato.
And like, you know, just it's trial and error, you know, you just keep doing, and they're like, oh, you know what, I notice I do this a lot.
Uh-huh.
I think that's kind of like in my thing, and incorporate this kind of my voice, and you kind of find those things that you do, and you're like, oh, shit, okay, and you kind of stay within that as well as go outside of that, you know, and push it to different stuff.
Totally. But,
you know, I think I got kind of an idea of what my range is or what my world is of singing, you know?
Right.
If that makes sense.
When you're that 12-year-old picking up Jimi Hendrix, is that what you were listening to at the time through, like, your dad's classic rock stations and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah, like Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix and stuff. Right. And then
Do you feel like Motown might have accidentally influenced you just by living in Detroit?
It could have. I mean, I always loved Stevie Wonder, Whitney Houston, and, you know, stuff like that. I only heard the Motown stuff, like,
in hindsight.
Yeah, totally. And what really got me was probably, like, in high school when I started listening to, like, Radiohead, and then I really wanted to, like, go on the guitar and write songs and make weird shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was like a turning point for me. And then
which Radiohead record?
OK Computer was probably the one that really was like, you know. And then after that, I got into rap music, and then I went really, you know, deep on that. But I was like deep in like the Southern, like you know, like UGK and also Dipset's like one of my favorites of all time, for real.
Same. Yeah. I'm a fucking Cameron air freshener in my car.
Santana's my shit.
Really, Santana? Oh, I'm a Cam dude, but I love Santana too.
I mean, Cam's the best.
Yeah, that's crazy. I love Cameron.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about getting a Cameron tattoo that's just a Range Rover that says, look at the range, ma'am. Got a whole new game plan. How tight would that be?
That would be so fucking awesome.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. But
with the pink fur hat,
dude, amazing. So, what age were you getting into the rap shit then? That was like 2005 when Cam was.
Yeah, well, early 2000s. Yeah. But with 3-6 Mafia was huge. We were like every album we were. Just subs in
so
the
like
back.
Memphis like shit,
in the shitty Buick, you know, like tinted out windows.
You know what's funny is that I think like it was the same in my area where it was, and I feel like there's some kind of, there's also got to be a theme with that where it's like in like lower socioeconomic white areas, like you're really drawn to like dark goth rap or like, or you know what I mean? Like, because 3-6 Mafia was huge.
Yeah.
Master P was huge in Alaska. Crucial Conflict, shit like that. Like, it was huge in Alaska. And it's like, how does that even get
up Alaska?
Yeah, I'm from Alaska.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shit, I didn't know that. Damn.
But I'll tell you what, I'll bet you that if you drove through, like rural Alaska, it probably doesn't look that different than like Detroit.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
There's times where I've been in like, I mean, this is a weird sidebar, but like, there's one time I drove through Orlando, Florida. We got off the plane in Orlando and we're driving to somewhere, and we're driving through this like real broke looking neighborhood in Florida. And I went, I'll tell you what, this looks exactly like my hometown in the summer. Like, it's so weird because you know, fucking white trash wherever you go, it's the same kind of
for real. We're everywhere.
It's true. So you have like this kind of amalgam of influences basically.
Oh, yeah, everywhere. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And you know, and then I've kind of figured out what, you know, I finally figured out a mix of what I wanted to do after, you know, a long time of just exploring and stuff, you know. And that was,
cause you're like a white dude with swag singer.
Yeah. I don't even know.
It's definitely like, I wouldn't, from what I've heard, which is not everything, obviously, but I would say there's like a strong R&B influence. Yeah, it's like R&B music is what I would label it as. Yeah. It's not like rock and roll. It's not.
Yeah.
There might be a little bit of like an old country twang to it, but it's mainly rhythm
definitely.
And blues. You
there's
know what I mean?
Definitely an old country twang for sure.
Yeah. That's the thing. I was actually surprised to hear you're from Detroit because like your accent, I thought you were Southern.
Sounds hard, Southern. Yeah.
I thought you were Southern. Yeah. I would imagine most people were like, oh, where are you from? Tennessee or something?
Yeah, they always say Texas.
Yeah, Texas. That makes sense. I was born in Texas too.
Yep. For real?
Yeah, San Antonio.
Oh, I was Dallas.
Yeah, but I ended up moving up there when I was young too. Similar story.
That's
man.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're just weird white guys, man.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I don't know. So you go to New York for a second, it doesn't work out.
Yeah. I mean, I was at that time, I had got a deal with Atlantic Records.
Oh, so you got a deal from the jump.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd they find out about you?
I just submitted.
You just turned in a demo.
Videos. Yeah, turned in a demo.
Wow.
Yeah, and they saw like the videos, and that was the MySpace era.
Oh, yeah, MySpace.
Yeah,
okay.
MySpace was on, and I uploaded my videos I made there, and I had like the camcorder that I made them with, and it was just like showing live shows and stuff. And so we were just like, it was a band. It was like a pop rock band. And
who were you guys? Like, if you were saying like that you were trying to sound like somebody, who do you think you would have sounded like at that time? Maroon 5 or something?
No, it was more like that Fall Out Boy type of stuff.
Okay.
You know, like we toured with Paramore and you know, those types of bands.
Yo,
yeah,
Paramore
sure.
is like quietly super influential in this fucking
for
young
sure.
generation of hipsters.
Yeah,
you talk
to
a fucking 22-year-old girl that's really good at the internet and they fucking love Paramore.
Yeah, it's real. Yeah. It's real.
Anyway, so you toured with them?
Yeah. We
what was you guys' band called?
It was Love Arcade, it was called.
Okay.
Yeah, really bad. Don't look it up.
I won't bother, but
thanks.
Everyone that's listening probably
did right now.
Oh, God. So Love Arcade, and was that like dudes from your hometown that you went out there?
Yeah, it was my cousin and my uncle were in the band, and then a couple friends. And yeah, so I shortly went on tour after that, and we were touring for about 3 years on the stuff. Yeah, straight,
really?
For sure.
How many records did you guys put out?
One.
Just one. And you toured off that for 3 years?
3 years, yeah.
Because
I was trying to make another record, but, you know, it was a good experience. Like, I'm glad I did that because then, you know, I kind of got a feel for what touring is, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people go into it now and, we're in the internet days and they, like, they get out on a tour and they expect it to be, you know, roses and
cranking the whole time,
you know, butterflies,
every show sold
but it's
out.
Like yeah, it's not like that,
right.
It's definitely not like that, and so it's good to get that experience in so you don't know that, like, don't have expectations, you know what I mean?
But you took to it, you like touring?
No, I hate it. Fucking hate it.
I'm gonna say, I can't stand it. It's like,
no,
it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I hate it.
It's
really
Groundhog Day. And that goes to show that whole.
And the fans, you know, I'm not saying that I hate it because I'm, you know, I would. It would just be awesome if you played, if I could play all the shows like Prince does here.
Yeah.
Like and then just go home and to my dog and shit.
Like,
that would
if
be
it
awesome.
Made sense to fly out everyone that wanted to come see you,
come
party
like,
in my backyard.
Just come to my backyard. Like,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
It's the traveling part that's
traveling. Because you're doing nothing, you know what I mean? And it's driving
crazy. America all looks the same as you drive around.
Yeah, it's crazy.
People don't realize that, like, driving through fucking Idaho looks the same as driving through fucking Southern California, you know what I mean? Like,
for
it's
real.
Crazy.
Yeah, and then you, the only joy you get out of the day is playing
show.
That show. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which makes it worth it, and that's why you do it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll continue to do it because, you know, I love performing.
That's
I love it. It's the drug. It's like you I don't want to say you waste all that time, but you spend all that time just so you can get that drug at the end.
It
you
really
know what I
is.
Mean? Yeah, and feel that energy.
I mean, I always said the same thing that, like, when we were talking about heroin, like, I feel like if you're a heroin addict, you're always chasing the feeling that first high.
Yeah.
How can I get back to that first high?
Yeah.
Every time I perform, I'm like, how can it be as good as my first show?
I'm driving 8 hours to get this again.
How could I make it as good as my very first show?
Yeah,
that was the best feeling I've ever had. You feel me?
For real.
Yeah. But it's definitely a kind of redundancy and every place feels the same. You don't have any direction other than just like go to sleep late, wake up hella early, and then sleep on an uncomfortable van the whole time.
Yeah, for real. It's a crazy life, but you know, it's you do it. It's something you got to do to do what you do.
To make a living. That's the job.
For sure.
Right.
If I want to put out records, you know, I have to have income to make records to put them out. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I could just, you know, sit in the studio like the Beatles and just like that would be awesome too. But you know, I do love playing live though. It's such a different thing, and you know, I'm just into music in general and just having that around you like that and having people there to, you know, partake in that whole thing. It's just feeling unlike it. It's a drug.
Yeah, totally, totally. What happens after Love Arcade doesn't work out? Is there any like label drama stuff that you learned about?
Well, yeah, you learn that you got to go through a lot of bullshit. There's a lot of politics. I've been signed 3 times, and And I, yeah, so you, I learned, you know, so thankfully I learned from those experiences how that usually works, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people who don't always, they're worried about losing their job, so they're trying to make stuff work, match stuff, like make stuff work by matching other stuff that has worked before.
Mm-hmm.
When that's, you know, we all know that that's not the way you make stuff work. You make
you
stuff
gotta
work.
Be the first gotta, one that makes
yeah,
it work
exactly.
For it to
you
work.
You gotta do you.
You can't and, be yeah. you can't be the yeah the reactionary record.
Exactly. You know exactly. What I mean? Yeah. So you know, there's a lot of that when you deal with labels. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, we need a single that sounds like this. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're gonna put you with all of these writers
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And there's a skit in my new record that kind of, you know, addresses that.
Right.
Yeah.
The label A&R
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, the label A&R guy.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And yeah, I had to put it in there because a lot of this record is kind of about the bullshit of, like, you know.
Well, so since you seem like kind of an insular artist and
yeah.
you do a lot of the stuff by yourself, like you said, you write, produce,
yeah.
engineer
yeah.
the songs yourself, lock
yeah.
yourself in a room and get it done.
Got it.
Do you feel, I've always felt this way, tell me if you feel this way, that there are like, there's like the business side of the brain and the music side of the brain. And
yeah.
It's a very rare person that can meld them both 50-50. Like, you're kind of
hard.
Either one or the other.
It's
but
hard.
And you learn the business. Like, I've learned a
yeah.
little bit of business stuff
mm-hmm.
over
yeah.
the years because I've had to.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
when it boils down to it, I'm more of a creative.
It. Exactly. But you have to. That's like what you said. You have to learn it.
So
though.
Do you feel
yeah.
that battle in yourself of, like, do I do this? Do I play business guy now or music guy now?
Yeah. I mean, it's that's every day.
Yeah.
yeah. And you know, and also like we're it's such a DIY thing that we have going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's probably only four of us that all try to run this label that we're trying to start. You know,
mm-hmm.
White Room Records and put out the Jameson stuff and so we're even like I just sent out merch like before I got here. Like we take orders and we fulfill them. Like it's
mm-hmm.
like it's all in house. So there's so much to do that you can't. It's like sometimes it's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be in that business zone because nobody's gonna do that shit for you. Nobody
right.
gives a fuck. You know what
right.
I mean? So you have to have that head on your shoulders, but you also have to not, you know, compromise your integrity or your artistry or anything like that, you know
right.
what I mean? So it is hard to like juggle those things.
Yeah.
But once you start like noticing when you make decisions for your artistry and to, you know, for your integrity, that they're usually the right decisions and it
right.
works out. Like
right.
and you're like, man, I mean, that sounds so good. And then like you make the decision not to do it and then you find out like that shit fell through and like and you're like, oh, well
right.
I feel good about, you know, that this telling me go with your where you wanna
the
go.
Gut,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't go with like, you know, instant gratification, you know.
Right.
So
right. There's also this sense, like, particularly now that you've been working on music for so long and you've hit the zone where you are
yeah.
doing it DIY.
Yeah.
There's also this kind of sense after you're no longer the new kid on the block.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the music publications don't care anymore.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
that's
funny. You really get that new
yeah.
artist buzz because
yeah.
everybody, whether it be Fader, Noisy,
yeah.
Complex, whoever,
mm-hmm. yeah.
like, if you're the new kid on the block.
Yeah.
You know, they want to be the first to
yeah,
report on you because
yeah.
you're buzzing right now. But it's
yeah.
like if that initial buzz
yeah.
doesn't blossom into becoming a fucking Drake or a Kendrick
yeah,
or
yeah,
whoever,
yeah.
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like the most poppin' artist, a Kanye,
mm-hmm.
then like you're just kind of the redheaded stepchild. That's like,
yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we already know who you are. We know what you sound like. So we're not going to cover you like we used to cover
mm.
you. And that's kind of a weird thing where now you have to know. It almost
yeah.
seems like. You get to a point where no one knows that you're popping except your own team.
Yeah,
because
right?
you're the ones delivering the merch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, it's a funny thing. Those the blog. I think the climate's changing with the blog stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I don't ever want to down talk anything.
Right,
but,
right.
But you know, I feel like those are kind of turning into like tabloid
a little bit
things.
Yeah,
you know,
they're getting
it's not about. I feel like it's getting a lot away from the music and. which is kind of like what record labels did. It right. You know, went away from the music, and people are starting to find out, you know, with the internet hitting and stuff, and it was easier to find music. You got people like Chance the Rapper coming out, and like, you don't need a label, you right. know what I mean? And,
right.
and it's cool to be at the forefront of that thing and continue to like show everybody else that like, hey, you can do this.
Right.
you don't need shit, and you definitely don't. I hate this, like, this thing of like, everybody thinks that you need these blogs, like they're so important.
You don't.
It's like, you know, you need people to come to like be your fans, you know
right.
what I mean? And the blogs, like, that's they're trying to get clicks.
Right.
That is all they care about.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that
yeah.
at all. You know what I mean? And
well, I think there are some artists that they,
yeah.
they get those clicks initially, and that's
yeah.
part of the drug for them.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And then it's like they go through an identity crisis afterwards of like,
yeah.
why am I not getting these clicks anymore? But it's
yeah.
like it, once you get that those initial
yeah.
clicks, you have to be prepared to like satisfy and hold on to the ones that like stuck around
yeah.
after the clicks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and also you have to parlay those clicks into actual tangible fans.
That's
you know
what I'm saying.
I mean?
That's
like,
what I'm
yeah.
saying. Yeah.
Like, you can't expect, oh, I got a million plays. That means I have a million fans. It's like, hell no. You
right.
got to get out there and,
yeah.
and earn those fans.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that's the funny thing is,
yeah.
is the fans that will really come to the shows
yeah.
are not the ones that are like on Twitter every day.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the ones that are looking at
yeah,
like
the
people,
the ground, you hit
right.
the streets, man.
The people that are
yeah.
hitting music blogs,
yeah.
they are cool kids that want to hear cool new music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas the people that like fucking care about Jameson,
yeah.
they
yeah.
might have accidentally stumbled on your shit through
yeah.
a friend or something,
oh, yeah.
but you
oh,
gotta
yeah.
like, you gotta reach
yeah.
out to them.
Yeah.
You
and
feel
that's,
me?
Yeah. And that's why like, this record where we're taking that approach,
yeah.
like hitting the streets, like the venues, like getting these simple things. Like promoters nowadays, they're just like, oh, we'll just send out a Facebook invite. Nobody fucking looks
Nobody.
At those things. Nobody.
Nobody.
Like, you need to like see that shit. People want to see that shit because it makes it that much more real for them. You know,
mm-hmm.
the internet's great. It's so unbelievably
Super
great.
Super useful.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
yeah.
But you can't expect that to do all the work for you. It's not a shortcut. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's just accenting what you are supposed to do or what you're trying to do with everything else. You know what
That's
I mean?
Another thing about being a
yeah.
modern musician too is
yeah.
like you almost have to become this like really well-rounded and open person, I feel
yeah.
like. And a lot, if you're going to do the DIY shit,
yeah.
like it almost has to become a bit of a Truman Show
oh, yeah.
because people want to be involved with like,
yeah.
here I am working on the record, you know, here I am grocery shopping,
yeah,
like
yeah,
look
yeah.
at this picture of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you have to create this full narrative rather than
Man.
Just putting out records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I'm trying to figure out because I don't like doing that. I don't really ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
I try to keep it about, you know, the
But even
music.
That becomes part of the narrative of like, oh man, he's like a real hermit.
Yeah, right.
You feel
For
me?
Real.
I love Jameson because
yeah.
he's so mysterious.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
And then they only hear from me every once in a while when I get super drunk and I'm like, I'm gonna like, you know, what's that thing called where the
Oh, Periscope or something?
Periscope,
yeah.
You're like, yeah. I'm a Periscope. I'm drunk as fuck. Fuck it.
Guys, I'm drunk as fuck and my pants are off. Log
yeah.
on to Periscope.
Log on now. So
oh,
I feel
shit.
Like they kind of get like, you know, I just do it when I feel. And I feel like people see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have to bombard them all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just got to be yourself. And
right.
just whenever you're feeling it. Like, if I'm not feeling it, I'm not going to fucking tweet. Like, hell no, I'm not. I have
totally.
No desire to tweet.
Totally.
And
here's a good question about tweeting. Do you tweet more when you're in a creative buzz or less when you're in a creative buzz?
Shit. Less.
When I'm really in writing, mode, not only will I be writing raps, but I'll be tweeting hell of ideas.
Oh, for real?
I tweet shit. Like,
oh, wow.
Like my tweets get funnier when I'm like feeling creative.
Oh, for real?
Oh,
hell
yeah,
yeah. Damn, I gotta try that shit. I didn't even think about
When you're in the writing mode, you'll fire off some fucking dope,
yeah.
dope tweets.
Yeah. I feel like I only tweet drunk.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Unless it's just like info. Like I'll tweet info that's, you know, going on like to, so people get all the info they need. But like, just tweets, yeah, it's usually when I'm drunk.
Yeah, word.
Yeah.
My Twitter gets, when I'm feeling like not very creative, my Twitter gets very quiet.
It's
real shit. So when you get dropped the first time? Yeah, the first time. What's that like? You're only like, what, probably 21 at that point or something?
I was 21. So at that point, I was just like, when it happened, I was just like, okay, cool. Well, I'm gonna go. Like, I'm gonna figure out how to get this. Like, when you're 21, you don't give a fuck.
Right.
You're like, you're so like,
you
oh, I'm.
You didn't feel a sense of hopelessness. Like, oh
didn't
no,
even phase
what
me.
Am I gonna
like,
do
didn't
now?
Didn't even phase me.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cool. I'm gonna
Hit
go out to
running.
LA.
Yeah.
I mean, and then that's when I because I had friends from touring and stuff, so I went out there and I met up with them and we were writing music and I was, you know, just getting into stuff. And then
what did you think of LA when you first moved here?
It was crazy. It was you know, it takes some getting used to for sure, but I love it now because, you know, it's like you were talking about, like the fish in the pond stuff. It's like, you know, it challenges you to be better constantly, for sure.
There's a lot of creative people here, and you got to keep up.
And yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? And I want that. I want that fire lit every day. You know
so you're
I mean?
Like you're almost kind of a self-competitive artist.
Yeah, like
I'm the
let's
same
go.
Way.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like let me see what I how good I got to be to compete.
I always kind of need like a nemesis in my head.
Yeah,
to,
for
you
real.
Know what I mean? To be like I'm gonna outdo that.
Yeah,
for,
right. Yeah. For real, yeah. Oh, yeah, especially with rapping, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very competitive.
Right, right. So when you move out here, do you start, do you like instantly get to the, I got to find a new label?
Or? Yeah, see, so I was still like believing in like the whole
the
label
system.
Thing. So the system, yeah. So I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna start. I've been working on this new stuff, and like, and then I had a friend that was a producer. I'm like, well, let's play these shows, and like, so we started playing shows, and like, somebody seen a show at like, what's that strip club on La Brea where they got
Crazy Girls?
Yeah,
I
where
used
they
to play
have
shows
bands
there too.
Yeah, we played one there, and then there was just people there, and they're like, "Oh my god!"
That
you know?
Girl with the leopard print skull tattoo with the mohawk. Remember?
I don't know.
Not
I don't remember. That was so long ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we played the show there, and then some people was started talking to some people that saw that show. That was like our first show, and then you know I did a couple showcases. And
did you already come up with the Jameson guys at that point?
No, this was well before that as well. And then
still doing band names, or were you just like, I'm a solo act now?
Solo act.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got signed to Warner and this was for a hot second, like with Christian TV, the thing was called. And it was like rock, pop rock, but not like the pop punk.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like pop rock. And so I did that, and then I turned in my album, and they were like, oh, no, we don't want to put it out anymore. And then so I got dropped again from that.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, at that time I was getting heavy into drugs and just making, like, dance music.
Really? Yeah. Wait, what were your drugs?
Everything. I don't know if I want to go too deep into it.
That's fine. Yeah.
But,
I mean, did it become a thing where you had to, like, kick the drugs, or did it just
out? There was a hot second when it kind of became a thing, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't aware till after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a combination of a lot of things that had happened, like the getting dropped and like all this stuff. And so I was like, just I was on a bender, you know what I mean? So I was trying to forget about everything. And
right,
so that was the second time I was dropped. I was doing that, and we were this is just it was crazy. So
that was definitely a dark point. It starts to catch up on you, like, of like, oh fuck, this is my second big failure.
Yeah, for sure.
But failures inspire the eventual success.
Yeah, so that inspired, you know, making these crazy like dance tracks that were that I would sing on and shit. And
what were you making it in, like Fruity Loops and shit? Or
no,
like Ableton?
I've always worked in Pro Tools.
Oh, Pro Tools,
so,
okay, yeah.
So I was doing that, and then, you know, just from being out and like doing all that stuff, you meet people. And
were you
then,
being like an LA club kid and like going out in Hollywood and shit like that?
I feel like I might have been. I never thought that I was, but I feel like I might have been.
Yeah.
And I really got the feeling that, because I knew like a promoter girl, and you know, so yeah.
Is it? This is the way I make timelines now, though. Was this still MySpace era, or had Facebook cracked by this point?
Oh no, it's Facebook.
Okay, so Facebook is going on at that point, and so you're out.
Yeah,
doing your party drugs and partying and having a good time and making dance music.
Yeah.
And then
that's when the Universal deal later happened for the dance music.
So they liked the dance music.
They liked the dance music.
Was it kind of like house type of dance music?
It was popular at that point. Like I was really into Beatroots and stuff like that and Crookers and that shit. So we were doing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then so when I got signed, it was like, okay, that's cool. But we need you to make like pop records,
mm-hmm.
like with the dance undertones, because that was what was popping at the moment.
Like who?
Rihanna was doing that shit, Brown, but this was back.
So they were like really wanting you to make fucking big hit records.
Yeah, big hit records. Yeah. So, you know, they were like, write producers, write everything. And, you know, I would sing these songs and I was still in this, just doing stuff because people told me it was the right thing to do.
And so here's a question for you, because now you're a mad, like, down to earth looking normal dude, jeans and a t-shirt type of guy. At this point, were you having to like worry about image? Were they like, you gotta have your hair this way, you gotta dress like this?
Everything. I was, man, that guy. I don't like that guy that I was, man. That was
how were they making you dress, or how were people telling you?
Stylists and shit, and like, do your hair like this, and it was horrible. Like, but you know, it's part of my past, and like, it got me to the point that, you know, I was finally fed up with everything. Yeah. It was like, you know.
Do you remember how you felt during the time?
During the time, I was still, you know, like, drugs and drinking.
So just kind of going with it.
Yeah, going with it. And, like, you know, just being like, oh, you know, this next thing is, oh, it's, you know, and then we're going to do this. And it was crazy.
You were, like, constantly feeling like maybe you're on the verge, but nothing ever really worked out with it.
And then like, we toured for a second with the stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and after that first tour, it was just like, man, I want to make something else. This is just – so I started making some other shit, thinking I would still put it under this name and still be on Universal. And so I brought it to them, and they were like, we don't want to put this out. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, if you could let me go, that would be awesome. And they were super cool about it.
Yeah, how does that work with the label system? Like, you get an advance when you sign
make your record. Yeah, you get an advance, for sure.
If your record doesn't make that advance money back, this is the kind of gray area that I've always been confused with, because I never dealt with the majors. Yeah. It's like, if you get that advance and your record doesn't do that well and you don't make that money back, do you owe it to them? Or is it kind of an unwritten law of like, no, you're good, go ahead?
No, like, because it's a... it's kind of incentive for them to push your record. Is what, like, we believe in you this much.
Okay.
That you're going to give us this, and we're putting
faith. We're going to give you $100,000 in the promo.
Yeah.
That's
exactly. Right. So, but you do, like, I'll still get checks from Warner and Universal. They're like $6 checks, and it's like, and you know, and then it's like, this is taken away from the $700,000 we spent or some shit. And it's like, how did you even get that number? Yeah. How did you spend that much money on this shit?
Wow.
And then I'm thinking, if they spend that much money on my shit, like, how much are they spending on the other? That's crazy.
Right.
That's
right.
Fucking nuts.
Particularly when, like, now that you're doing it by yourself and you realize, like, wait, I can do all this for $30.
Exactly. You know? I'm like, how the fuck did you spend that much money? And I'm wondering, like, what the breakdown of that is.
Right.
You know, because it's like, I mean, it wasn't that much, but it was like, I'm trying to think. I think it was like maybe like 500,000, 60,000. Yeah, like crazy.
But so now that you're getting like $6 checks from them, does that mean that your record has broken even and they're giving you royalties?
It says $6 and then it says it's deducted from, what is it? Like, you recoup?
Yeah.
But you don't recoup it 100% is the thing. So I'll get like a $6 check.
Yeah.
And then what I would have made was maybe, you know, $60.
Right.
But I only got $6 of it.
Yeah.
So,
because
the rest went to recoup.
I got you.
You know, so.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It really is.
Plus, just to get a check from that, where it's like, that's like such a different part of your life, I'm sure, where it's like, oh,
that's weird.
That other guy that made
it's
me that
so
money.
It's so fucking weird. I literally, like, you got one, like, this past week from Warner Music. I'm like, what did I do with Warner Music? And it's like $682. I'm like, I did that. Yeah.
Hey, shout out to Warner paying that Taco Bell money,
right,
you know?
For real.
So they let you out and they're cool about it. And so at that point, is that where you feel like you think you started to hit your voice?
Yeah, that was the Jameson era. That was when I was like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm tired of listening to, you know, what everybody thinks I should do with these hits and all this stuff. And I feel like I know where I want to go, or, you know, not even know. I know where I want to explore. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you were starting to just discover yourself as a human being as well?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That too. And each year after that, it's, you know, you're discovering more, you know, as you go, it gets more discovery.
Totally.
But that was definitely the turning point where, you know, something clicked.
Was there like I hate to use the term rock bottom, but was there like a rock bottom or like an oh shit moment that was like,
yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
This is the moment that I need to fucking change everything?
Yeah,
what happened?
Yeah, it was, we had been on tour with somebody, and it was just it wasn't fun.
Yeah.
And you know, it just the energy and everything had been drained, and I was just I wasn't into what I was doing at all. Uh-huh. You know, I felt like I did it for somebody else, and they still didn't want to put it out. And I'm like, well, I did it exactly how you wanted me to do it.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like, wow, you know. And then I don't know what was the moment that it clicked. And then also my girlfriend at the time broke up with me. So uh-huh. It was a lot of shit happened there. And then I was just like, fuck, man, something's
got to change.
Something's clicked. Yeah, I was like, it's got to change, man.
How did you hear those songs in your head? Like, why was that the direction?
I just started making stuff. Like, I started making, you know, songs about these situations without the pre-notion of, like, where I needed to go with it. It was like I want to kind of go back to what I started making when I first started producing stuff. It was just, it's weird Radiohead stuff, but melodic and has beats because, you know, I was listening to, you know, all the rap and whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I wanted to go there with it, and that's, you know, that's where I took it, and mm-hmm. I just kind of reverted back to when I first started, and there was no label drama and nobody telling me what I should be. I was just exploring
right.
the things that I wanted to hear myself, you know what
right.
I mean? So that's what I'm doing now. I'm exploring whatever I feel like I want to explore and I want to hear myself, you know. There's no limits. I'm not like confined to like just one thing, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's an exploration. Invigorating, it's, you know, fulfilling.
That's dope. And that's a funny thing too, where like you start to feel like you're a slave to this typecast that the label yeah. has created for you. Have yeah. you ever started to feel like with the Jameson Project, people, like your fans, expect you to be a certain sound?
Yeah.
And
oh,
so
yeah.
like you're like, wait, fuck, 100%. Now that this thing that I've created, am I becoming a slave to that as well?
Yeah, but you can't become to, you know, I mean, you know, you like my old shit, buy my old albums. It's just, you know, it's the same thing. Like you can't pay
like
attention
that.
To that. You yeah, can't pay yeah. attention to that. Like,
right.
if you do, you'll go crazy.
Right.
You know, I'm already going crazy and I'm not paying attention to that. Can you
right.
imagine if I was trying to fucking
right, to
do
make,
that? Damn.
Yeah. Oh, I got
to
make another song
so
that sounds
fucked.
Like my most popular song.
yeah, yeah, no. So you can't let that. And I'm learning. I'm learning that as I go. You know,
yeah.
that was something I had to, like, realize. I'm like, you know, I'm like, man, is anybody going to like it if I really go and this is. But it's like, if it's good and you're genuine, like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Right. Because you can't recreate magic. You can
yeah.
only create magic.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
what I mean?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm still a victim of that, of like trying to like recreate something, like oh, I should, you know,
I should do something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I should like go.
Yeah.
This is this song of that album. Like,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like
yeah.
this is this song. And
yeah,
it's like,
nah.
the best ones are the ones that happen on accident, you know?
Right. It was just sent to you.
Right. Right.
You know, from somewhere. You don't even know.
Right.
It just came.
So when you get dropped from Universal and you start doing the Jameson
yeah.
stuff, what was the first big moment where it started to kind of click and people caught on to it?
I think when I came out with the second song. The first song was Hotel,
uh-huh.
and it was kind of like just the introducing my new
yeah.
thing. And then the second song was Alone, and we put out the video. The song,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was when SoundCloud was maybe just starting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it didn't get a lot of streams or anything on that, but
mm-hmm.
YouTube was popping. So
yeah.
I put the video on that, and it got a lot of plays, and
mm-hmm.
you know, from there I just kept putting out the video content and trying to keep consistent with that, you
right
know?
What year was that?
That was 2012.
Okay, so 2012. So at that point, yeah, like YouTube is super cracking. Everybody's
oh, yeah.
got DSLRs, so
uh-huh.
it's like the democratization of
exactly.
video had become a
yep.
thing.
Yeah.
So did you start finding other creatives in LA that like believed in you and became like a part of a team when you guys were producing content? Or
well,
what?
Yeah, kind of yeah. friends, yeah, that just helped do stuff and like,
yeah.
You know, you always, it's always. Like even now, it's like it's, if people are passionate about it, then yeah, definitely let's work. You know
right.
what I mean? It's not, you don't want it to ever be like a chore for them. You're like, you're paying them to do a job that, you know, you want to pay them, but you also want them to do the job like
right.
they want to be doing it. You
right.
know what I mean? So it's
because if they believe in it, the product
yeah,
comes out better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how much money you spend. If the person's not into it, then you're not going to get shit that's
right.
good. You know?
Right, right.
So,
yeah,
it's a simple thing.
So when you go out on the road now, like what cap venues are you playing?
So here we'll in May, I think we're playing the Regent.
No shit.
So yeah.
Oh, you guys are you're fucking cracking then.
Well, you know, we're trying.
That's a big spot,
no, it's,
man.
It's good, and yeah. You know, yeah, like the big cities, like I think we'll be doing some big venues in San Francisco, New York, Chicago, DC,
yeah.
Real big, and yeah.
How does it get when you're in the small towns though? Like, is it
small towns is fine. It's like, you know, like when you go in, even if it's as long for us, like as a band, I mean, I know for me, I'm happy if there's like, you know, 50 people there. I don't give a fuck.
Totally.
You know, because those are 50 true fans that are like coming to see you. But like small towns, you know, a couple hundred and it's, you know, it's popping.
Yeah,
let's
a couple hundred's great.
Let's go.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Where's where's the city that you're surprised that it pops so hard? There's always one.
Ooh,
I feel like.
Man, there was a couple, but. North Carolina was pretty.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're big in like it was a surprise there.
I mean, yeah. Is that what they do?
I don't know. I think in North Carolina, I think of like dudes wearing Abercrombie shirts with the collars flipped.
No, that's not our fan base at all.
That's just what I think of in that right? state in general.
Yeah. So I was surprised at that one because we had never played there before, and I was definitely surprised
they just
that
showed
one.
Out
yeah. I mean, but I was surprised like this past year, like we did over 100 shows, and it was the first time that we did headlining shows, and it was crazy to see people come out for us, you know, and so that was a crazy thing to you know, experience.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be the same thing with this.
Well, that's
like,
a good feeling when you finally jump off that cliff and go like,
you know what?
I'm not going to open for somebody.
Exactly.
I'm not going to try to go out and win someone else's
scary
fans.
Scary as fuck, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to rely on myself.
Yeah.
But it's like probably a lot more gratifying,
oh,
I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And it's like, and you still have those moments like you we're playing the Regent and you're like wondering, shit, man,
is anybody going to show up?
Is anybody going to show up?
Dude,
like,
I'm saying.
I have that with every show we play.
I'm the same.
You know what I mean?
One.
Like,
oh,
it doesn't matter. Like, they could tell me it's sold out, and I'm like, well, maybe they're just not. They like bought the tickets and they're not going to come. Like,
right.
Every time.
I'm telling you, on some Mr. Me Too shit, like, I just started doing, like, in 2012, 2013 was the year that I said I'm never going to open for somebody again.
Yeah.
If I do shows, I only do one a year usually, but I'm like, if I do one.
Yeah.
I'm going to headline it and throw it on my own accord. And yeah, dude, every show, like I did the Troubadour in July and fucking the pre-sales were not that great. And I'm going I'm fucked.
I'm fucked.
I'm not going to make any money. Nothing's going to happen. And then like, I look
Day
out,
of.
I opened
Day
the fucking,
of.
I opened the blind from the green room and looked down and it was fucking cracking. And I'm like, holy shit, people showed up.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things I get anxiety over that
it's
feeling
weird.
Too.
Yeah. It's hard. It's like, that's another thing that I learned from this past years, like you can't look at those pre-sales and like think that that's like what
people
what's
walk
gonna
up
happen.
Dude,
yeah, they really do. And you don't think about that, but it's like you're like, oh shit, there's 20 tickets sold here. Fuck.
and that kind of goes to my like my thing about like no longer being the new kid on the block. Like if you are a Chance the Rapper, right?
Yeah.
And you announce a show in a city
sold out,
people are
going
to be like
sure.
on, they're waiting in line on their internet to fucking get a ticket, and it's going to sell out instantly. And then you got a hot ticket in town.
Yeah.
But if you're a fucking if you're a Jameson, like people are going to show up, but it's not going to be like, oh my god, it's sold out in 5 minutes.
Right.
People are like finding out the day of like, oh shit, Jameson's in town.
Sure.
I want to go.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
It really
it's
is. Man.
It's not hype. It's not hype. It's just, you know.
Right.
Same thing with like a Dave Matthews Band coming in town, and they're playing, you know, a stadium.
Right.
And, you know, it's not sold out right away, but it will be by the time they play, you know what I mean? And
Totally.
You know, it's like,
and
the
they're
same
one of those
thing.
Bands, too, where, like, their fan base is so strong. Like, when Dave Matthews comes to L.A., like, L.A. Weekly's not talking about, like, oh, by the way, Dave Matthews is playing.
Yeah, they don't need to.
People just know.
They
you
just
know what
know,
I mean?
Yeah.
For real. So it's like, nobody that's not a Dave Matthews fan even realizes how fucking huge Dave Matthews is anymore.
It's crazy.
They're just like, oh, the dude from Ants?
Yeah.
Or Ants Marching? You know what I'm saying? And
that's
it's like,
awesome.
Nah, y'all don't really know what it is anymore.
That's awesome.
So how long did you work on this record?
The one
that you're about to put out.
So I started it when we were putting out the other record before we started touring.
Yeah.
And I worked on it sporadically throughout the times that we had off.
Yeah.
And then when we ended our touring maybe in October or November.
Yeah.
So I kind of had a I think I had November and December to really finish it, because then I had to go to Australia and do shows there, so I didn't have a lot of time. So I was that was like the 2 months that were like the most stressful time of my life. Yeah. It was crazy, but I finished it. And
do you feel like you have to start? I don't want to say like despising, but is there a part of you that like before you can create, you have to start disliking or getting tired of the songs that you're performing and be like, I'm ready to perform new ones.
Oh my god,
ones.
Dude. Yeah. I was so, like, towards the end of this touring, I was like, so like, fuck me if I have to play these songs again. Like, I need to get out new music.
That's a great inspiration.
I'm gonna go crazy, like, right. For real.
Yeah.
So yeah, it definitely inspires you to do that. For sure. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad. Okay, cool. Yeah. I didn't know if other people felt that.
No.
Way.
Like,
I have to like hate a record before I'm ready to make new shit.
Yeah, for real, man. Yeah. It's like, man, you play those songs so many times, and there's only so many runs or different ways you can flip them for them to be new to you again. You know what I mean? Because you're like, oh, I'm gonna sing this a little different, and then that'll make it new for me in my mind. I'm tricking my mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
that is the funny thing about those songs, though, is that you start to learn about them as you're playing them. Of like, oh, I wish I would have thought of this run for that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know
and
what I mean?
Like, and then you do it.
Right. That's tight. So you only had a couple months to do it. What do you think? In hindsight, now that it's done, what did you learn about yourself while you're making it? Because I feel like records end up having like a little theme to them.
I think I learned, you know, a lot about like where I want to take it going forward. I think, you know, just as far as like what I want to do the next time I do it, and I think that's all. Every record is that for me. It's like when I finish it, I'm like, okay, that's done, and I'm not gonna try to fix what that is. Like, that is what it is, and then. You're like, but now I know kind of where I want to go next time and what I want to fix and like these other things and like what I can make a little better. You know what I mean? You think about all the things you can make better. Like, there's like the stuff that I fixed on this record versus my last was, you know, singing like a lot of these songs. I had to sing them so many times because I wanted to get them the right performance, like one take, you know what I mean? And that's hard to do because, like, you can sing it. I mean, I can sing the song all the way through, but is it going to be the right moment, like the right how
that,
I sing it? You
that
know what
one
I mean?
Emotive part,
yeah.
Is it the right
it's,
vibe?
Yeah. It's just like if you're trying to shoot a one-shot video.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If you mess up one part and it takes you out of it for a second, it's like, man, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't do it. So it's.
Did you do all of them in one take?
I'm trying to think. Probably not all of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them. But several, the ones that I did had to, like, there was a couple that I was writing while I was doing. So
I
would, like, do the verse and I'd be like, well, I got to write a chorus for this, you know, that.
Yeah,
but,
totally.
But the ones that were written, I was like, these have to be, you know.
Yeah.
And then when you get in that zone and you're like, oh, this is the one, and then you're like, let me do all my ad-libs, one take, let's
right,
go. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like, all.
It's funny, I think as you learn more about yourself as an artist, I didn't know that that was a thing with everybody, but with my path as an artist, it has been when I was a kid and was first starting, I would have everything written, and I would go, I know how I want this to sound, and then I would do it almost like, not line by line, but like maybe every two bars I would punch and start a new line or something.
Yeah.
And then as you get better, you start to write with the idea of like having breaths in the verse.
Yes,
like, this is where I breathe. This is where I'm silent. This
is
the timing. Yeah. And then I started personally like, okay, I'll record this verse in one take, the chorus in one take.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that
for sure.
Yeah. And now on my last record, a lot of the songs I did all the way through, and it might have taken 6 or 7 takes to get right. But from the beginning to the end, it's like bang, one take.
It's important. It's important to do. You know, it's like you
got
to take
a little bit more
on,
soul into it. Or something.
You got to take them on that journey. You know, what I mean, never take them out of it.
Right.
You know, it's like, especially when you like are trying not to like. Make it sound processed or anything, you know what I mean?
Because
that can definitely make it sound like it's just edited again. Doesn't sound like a human.
Yeah, and sometimes there's like those perfectly imperfect moments.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't have to be on tune all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? But there's there's spots where I know I hit bad notes on this record, but it doesn't matter.
Because like that's the part that like twists your heartstrings a little bit or something.
And that was,
you know?
Like, that was the thing that I always loved about Whitney Houston's shit.
Yeah.
Is like she always had those ones where she's just a little off.
Right.
But it didn't matter because she's fucking wailing.
Wailing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
right.
You're like, oh my God, I can feel it. And you know she's singing it because they left that shit in there.
Yeah, and she's like,
you know
don't,
I mean?
Don't fix that. Let's
don't
not fix
that.
That.
No,
yeah.
We don't need to.
Right,
that was
right.
That was the moment. That was the moment. And
totally,
I caught it. You know?
Totally, totally.
It's about moments.
So it's, yeah, I had a really good time with this. You're
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah,
this is a good conversation. I needed.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that I could be part of your journey back into humanity.
Yeah,
now, you know
now
what I'm
a little more calm.
I don't have anxiety anymore.
Yeah, right,
I don't feel
right?
Like I'm going to throw up.
Me either.
You know, maybe that's our problem. We just need more human contact.
Yeah, we need to talk to people.
Yeah. I'll tell you honestly, like, I have my three things that I try to deal with my depression with, like, without getting onto meds because I've never done meds.
Yeah.
It's like, one of them is workout because that gets my juices flowing.
Oh, yeah.
One of them is go to the beach because being in the sun and the water fucking makes me feel amazing. Because I really think like our fucking great grandmother to the 1 billionth power was a fish, and we fucking still feel that. You know what I mean? Like being in the water resets me. And then my other one is like human contact.
Yeah,
man. Like not.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking I'm not talking like in a physical sense, but just like hanging out with friends can make you fucking feel better.
For real.
You know?
For real.
So
it's something about that.
Now that you have time. And you're not working on records, you should hang out with some friends, man. I feel like you'll be back to normal in no time.
I'm hoping.
There we go. So when does the record come out? What is it called?
The record comes out May 6th.
May
6th. And it's called It Is.
It Is.
It just is.
Is there a dot, dot, dot?
It is, period.
It is. There
it
you go.
It is.
That reminds me of it goes on.
It just is.
Yeah, for sure, man. How what was I gonna say? Oh, how can the people find you online?
Twitter, I am Jameson. Instagram, I am Jameson.
And it's JMSN.
JMSN, yeah. And Facebook, just type in Jameson.
Yep.
You know, all the stuff.
Yeah.
That,
he's got a name that's like easy enough to Google.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
JMSN. Google him. Videos will pop up. SoundCloud will pop up. Twitter, et cetera,
all
et cetera,
stuff,
et cetera.
Yeah.
And so you guys will start seeing his songs from It Is being released as this is coming out as well. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man, thank you. This was dope.
No,
I'm glad.
You,
I'm glad
real.
That we made this happen.
Yeah, this was awesome.
My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. You can follow my man, Ben Shim, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery at I Am Data. Base. Follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat. YouTube.com/Kinda Neat, where you are going to see Jameson perform. What song are you going to perform?
I think Cruel Intentions.
He's going to be performing Cruel Intentions, also a great 90s movie. Holler.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on download that podcast app, search for Kinda Neat, and just subscribe to it. And we started a Patreon account. So if you guys have been tuning in for years, if you're a new listener, hey, you don't have to do this, but if you're somebody that has been tuning in and we are part of your weekly routine, I would say, hey man, show us some love back. Go donate like $1 per episode and just help us pay some bills, and that'd be fantastic. So patreon.com/kindaneat. And with that being said, my name is Lee, that was Jameson, and this was Kinda Neat.